come to me about Wolfgang Faust?" Pendergast nodded. "Then you have come to the right man, Mr. Pendergast. I made it my life's work to track down the Dachau doctor. I was only stopped by these," and he gestured at the legs under the blanket. Putting down the drink, he reached for a thick folder that sat at one edge of the patio table. "A lifetime of work, Mr. Pendergast," he said, patting the folder, "distilled between these covers, and I know it by heart." He took a deep sip of his julep. "Wolfgang Faust was born in Ravensbrück, Germany, in 1908, and attended the University of Munich, where he met and became the protege of Joseph Mengele, 3 years his senior. He worked as Mengele's assistant at the Institute for Hereditary Biology and Racial Hygiene in Frankfurt. In 1940, he received his medical degree and joined the Waffen-SS. Later, at Mengele's recommendation, he worked for Mengele in the clinic block at Auschwitz. You know the kind of work Mengele was involved with. I have an idea. Brutal, cruel, and inhuman surgeries, frequently done without anesthesia." Weiss's open and cheerful countenance had undergone a transformation into something hard, implacable. "Unnecessary amputations, hideously painful and disfiguring medical experiments performed on little children, shock treatment, sterilization, injecting subjects with various poisons and diseases, freezing people to death. Mengele was fascinated by anything unusual or abnormal. Heterochromia, dwarfism, identical twins, polydactyly. Romas, gypsies, were a favorite target. He infected 100 of them with leprosy in an attempt to create a biological weapon. And when his fiendish experiments were complete, he would kill the sufferer, often with an injection of chloroform into the heart, to finish up with an autopsy to document the pathology, just like lab rats." He took another slug of his drink. "Faust so distinguished himself at Auschwitz that he was sent to Dachau to set up his own facility. Not a great deal is known of the nature of his Dachau experiments. Faust was far more successful than Mengele at destroying his records and killing witnesses. But what we do know is as disturbing as Mengele's atrocities, if not more so. I will not speak of those details here. They are in this folder if you really want to know the true depths to which a man's depravity can lower him. Let us talk instead of what happened after the war. After the fall of Berlin, Faust went underground in Germany with the help of Nazi sympathizers, hidden in an attic. Ironically, not that different from what happened to Anne Frank. These sympathizers were well-connected or well-funded, or perhaps both." "How do you know?" "They had the ability to create, or procure, forged documents of a very high quality. Marriage licenses, identity papers, the like. These sympathizers gave Faust a phony passport in the name of Wolfgang Lanzer. Sometime in the late 1940s, it is not known precisely when, he was smuggled out of the country and shipped off to South America. His first port of call was Uruguay. All this, what I have told you so far, took me 10 years of work to uncover." Pendergast inclined his head. "He settled in a series of remote towns, earning money from doctoring the peasants. But it appears he was not long welcome in any one place. Apparently his prices were extortionate, and at times he displayed a propensity for trying out various, cures that often ended up killing instead."
"The inveterate experimenter," Pendergast murmured.
"By 1958 I had tracked him to Uruguay. Somehow he learned I was on his trail. He changed identities again. This time to Willy Linden, had a facial operation, and moved to Brazil. But that's where the trail ends, because around 1960 he vanished completely. I could turn up nothing, absolutely nothing further, on his whereabouts or his activities. In fact,
It was only 25 years later, in 1985, that I came upon his gravesite, and that itself was almost a coincidence, more a lucky break than the result of careful investigation. The remains were identified from dental and later from DNA records.
When did he die? Pendergast asked.
As near as could be established, sometime in the late 1970s, 1978 or 79.
And you have no idea what he was doing those last 20 years?
Weiss shrugged. I tried to find out. God knows I tried.
He finished the drink with one quick movement, his hand now trembling slightly. For a few minutes, the two men remained in silence. Then Weiss looked over at Pendergast.
Now, tell me, Mr. Pendergast, what is your interest in Wolfgang Faust?
I have reason to believe he may have been connected in some way to a death in my family.
Ah, yes, naturally. He touched thousands of families in that way.
Weiss paused.
After I came upon the remains, the case was basically closed. Other Nazi hunters had little interest in filling in the gaps of Faust's life. The man was dead, why bother? But finding a body or bringing someone to justice just isn't enough. I believe we must know all there is to know about these monsters. It is our responsibility and our duty to understand, and there are so many unanswered questions about Faust. Why was he buried in the middle of nowhere, in a plain pine box? Why did nobody in the area have any idea who he was? Nobody, I question, in a 12-mile radius of the gravesite had ever seen or heard of the man named Willy Linden before. But after my accident, there was no one to take over for me. Meyer, they said to me, the man is dead. You found the man's grave. What more do you want? I try not to be bitter.